Thank you, Hoya Nilam and Injona, for leading us in singing. Thanks especially for the first song. I learned how to do action for some animals that I didn't know how to do it. So thanks for that. I appreciate that. Well, hello to everyone as well, and I welcome you back to church, to this virtual church that we have been having for almost a year now, I think. And we continue to move on in life, week after week, somewhat unsure sometimes of what lays ahead for us, especially this year. And I'm sure you're all aware of what's going on around the world. It's been quite a week as well around the world, the news that we are receiving. And so we do certainly feel unsure and unclear about all that's going on. But yet I think the best that we can do is to trust God, to be alert, to take it one day at a time, one week at a time, to do the best that we can, and to be joyful, to remember, to love, to hope, and to trust in God and do what's right. So we continue to go forward with that confidence. And we continue to our reflection from the book of Colossians as well, Colossians chapter 2. And today our passage talks about qualification, to be qualified in Christ. And I know that that's something that we all have gone through, the question of qualification. And I'm sure you know the joy of having met the qualification when you're applying for something or somewhere. I remember as I was preparing for this, I remember a time when I finished my, we call it class 12, when I was going into college, I wanted to do medicine. And I was applying for this prestigious college called the Armed Force Medical College. And I had all my papers ready. I was ready to go in. And before the exam, I found out that I was disqualified because my eyesight is weak, and I need to have like 20/20 vision to get into that Armed Force Medical College. So before I realized that, even before I give the exam, I was already disqualified. And so that came to my mind. I don't know why, but there you go with that story. Why don't we just read Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to be reading from 16 to 23, and I'll be reading from the ESV version. And please follow along as I read. So this should be Qualified in Christ, by the way, the title. Colossians chapter 2, 16 onward. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in details about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. So this is the text, and when we talk about qualification, we usually talk in terms of a criteria that qualifies a person. And the question that we need to... So qualification usually comes with meeting the needs or meeting the criteria, reaching the criteria, crossing the pass mark, crossing the cutoff mark in terms of the academics, or to earn points, enough points that makes you qualified for a certain thing. And I think this comes in a way that's relevant to us in different ways, I guess, for those who are in education, like myself, who is studying, it comes in a different way. For those who are seeking jobs, it comes in different ways. But there's, I think we can all resonate with what it means to be qualified or to not be qualified. And there's always a question of criteria that meets that qualification. So if we put that same rationale in this text and ask, what is the criterion of qualification in this equation that Paul is talking about? We see very quickly that if we refer back to the previous sermons as well, we see very quickly that it is Jesus who qualifies. And I think we need to get that very clear right from the beginning. It is Christ who qualifies us. In fact, if you look deeper, it is Christ who is qualified. And it is that same qualification that is transferred to us, so to say. So if you like, it can we can imagine it as an exchange of records where we take the good record, the good qualification that Jesus has earned and that applies to us. We take on Jesus' offer of qualification and that becomes our qualification. Another way that this is talked is in terms of taking on a new identity. Our old identity, which is not qualified, is we get rid of that and we take on a new identity in Christ, which is qualified. So the point I'm trying to draw here is that when we question our qualification in Christ, we are questioning Christ. We're questioning what Christ has done for us. We're questioning the validity of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. So that's why I think Paul is quite strong in his language as he talks in Colossians and even in Galatians and other texts as well, that Christ is enough. What Christ has done is enough qualification in life. And when we, the moment we question this qualification, the moment we think that even though I'm in Christ, I feel like I'm not enough, that's the moment we are questioning Christ's qualification. I hope it makes sense. So with that said, I want to explore some of the problems that was present in the city, in the town of Colossae. Now, the problem in Colossae, I think we touched on this last week as well, but the problem in Colossae was that on top of trusting in Jesus and putting our faith in Jesus, we need to do something more. We need to add on top of that with rituals or maybe following regulations, keeping the rules, or to have some secret knowledge that will, you know, make it click. So on top of trusting in Jesus, you need to add all these things. Observance of the law. And again, one big part of that was dietary laws. What to eat, what not to eat. According to the Jewish customs and traditions, they were food was categorized as clean and unclean food. And in order to be clean before God, in order to be ceremoniously clean before God, you should not touch unclean food. And so these laws were transferred over. And the false teachers were saying, on top of believing in Christ, you need to still follow these customs in order to be qualified. In other words, even if you're still in Christ, you can still be disqualified. You can still be disqualified if you don't do this X, Y, Z. Paul is saying, that's nonsense. It is Christ who qualifies us. And he uses a metaphor which I think intentionally makes this comparison absurd, almost absurd. And I just want to put, I just want to explore this very briefly. He talks about new birth, to have a new identity, and he talks about qualification. And if you look at these two things, they're completely different categories, right? If you think about life, you don't do anything to get life. If you think back on our life, like I don't remember, but I was born in August 9. I don't have any grid of memory of that, but I was born on August 9, 1987, and I was told that that was the day I was born. I don't remember doing anything for that. I was just born, and life was given to me, and I was given this identity for which I did nothing, right? Whereas as I grew up, I started going to school and college and earning these degrees, and these are what, quote-unquote, my qualifications. I think the two contrasting things that Paul is bringing here is that in order to live, in order to have life, you don't do anything. You are given life. And here, Paul was saying how ridiculous it is that you think that by doing all these things, by accruing these, let's call it degrees or medals or traditions and all these things that this would give you life. It's just ridiculous. It is as if Paul wants to use this to contrast our relationship with God and the life that we have in Him. We can do nothing to be born in the Spirit. except to trust in Jesus. To have life, we can do nothing. As much as we did nothing to be born, and we did nothing to have an identity as the son of my parents, in the same way, we can really do nothing to be born in the Spirit. So inherently within ourselves, by virtue of being who we are and by virtue of choosing to base our identity on Jesus, we are qualified. Just by the sheer fact that we trust in Jesus, we are qualified. And if we have faith in Christ, we have life. Nothing can qualify us further. Nothing can disqualify us further. If we have life, if we have our trust in Jesus. And if I may invite you to reflect on this further, not just on quote unquote spiritual things, but in terms of our existential, our everyday experience, how is this relevant for us? I think how often is it that I believe all of us, most of us, we revert back to thinking that what we do determines who we are. What we do, what we accomplish, what we get done in life determines who we are. I think Paul is telling us that that's just ridiculous. Who you are is already set because you believe in Christ. And that is our fundamental and foundational point of our value, that we have faith in Christ, and because of that we have life. Now, what we make out of life, our degrees, our achievements, now that is important. I don't discredit that at all. But the point is that that is not foundational to who we are. Now, these standards in other arena of life, like education or jobs, again, I emphasize this, there's nothing inherently wrong with that. In fact, we need those standards because we need the best doctors to run the medical world. We need the best teachers. But as Paul says, we don't need to submit to these regulations as though these fundamentally determine who we are. And I was thinking about heavenly perspective, right? I think this living our life with heavenly perspective starts with this first understanding of who we are, our crucial understanding of our identity. It is important that we remind ourselves and tell ourselves this foundational message that we are qualified by Christ and by our faith in Christ. Nothing can disqualify us. Our education, our situations in life, all these are important and they have their place. But these things, even our failures, cannot undo what Christ has done for us. Cannot undo what the qualification that Christ has brought for us. We cannot do anything in the first place to earn God's favor and earn God's peace in our life. We cannot do anything to be born again. We cannot do anything to have Spirit of life in us. In the same way, there's nothing that can disqualify us who have faith in Jesus. In the context of Colossians, this teaching flows out into three implications. So these are the three implications. If Christ have qualified us, then we are connected directly to Christ. If Christ have qualified us, then we are connected directly to Christ. And there are three implications of this. The first implication is that there is no more need for religious practices or secret knowledge or traditions that can bring us any closer to Christ. The false teachers in Colossae were saying that on top of believing in Christ, becoming a Christian, you need to do something more. You need to have secret knowledge. You need to follow these traditions to bring you closer to Christ. But in Colossians, Paul tells us that Christ has already qualified you. He's already brought you close to Christ. Nothing can bring you any closer to Christ. You have direct access to Christ. If you need wisdom, you can go to Christ directly. If you need His presence, His help, you can go to Him directly. The second implication is that there is no need for a mediator because we have direct relationship with Christ. The Colossians false teachers were saying that you need to listen to angels, the teachings of angels. You need to worship angels because the angels will serve as mediators to God. Paul is saying that's nonsense. You don't need a mediator because you are directly connected to Christ. You can go to Him directly as though you're going to your parent, a parent. A child goes to a parent. In the same way, you can go directly to Christ. The third implication is that we are connected together along with others in the body of Christ. So this connection with Christ is not just an individual, personal thing. It's a collective thing that we are all together in this body of Christ. We are all connected together. And that implies that we need each other, people around us to support us, to encourage us, to correct us, to be corrected by others, and to correct one another, to pray for one another, to be prayed for, to witness to one another. So we need people because we are connected together along with others in this body. As I was preparing, I was reflecting on what that means, and I was just thinking about some hopefully practical implications of this. And I think this understanding of Christ qualifying us affects the way we think in real life issues. And I believe that it has potential to confront some of the so-called heart issues, like the deep-seated anxieties that I know that I have sometimes, the envy that often creeps up, jealousy, the sense of inferiority or the sense of inadequacy. To know and believe that regardless of what is happening to me, I am still a child of God. Regardless of what is happening to us, we are still children of God. And ultimately, we have a home. We have a home, and we can go to the Father, and we can just connect with Him, with the Father who loves us and who gave everything for us. And I think that frees us, that empowers us and emboldens us, sets us free, in my opinion, to live free of fear of disqualification. But then I was thinking about not just who I am right now. I think this qualification comes in another level as well. It's who I will be, or what will be in Christ. Because the qualification that comes in Christ is not just a present thing, it's a future thing as well. Because God made a way for us to be qualified, and God qualifies us to look forward to a future, to walk into a future of being made perfect. And by perfect, I mean to be like Christ. By perfect, I mean to be made in the image of God. Again, I don't need to remind us that this perfection is not just an individual, I'm going to be perfect thing. As we saw last Sunday and a few Sundays back, this perfection is about on earth as it is in heaven. That this wholesome, this shalom peace is going to come on earth as it is in heaven. And as we anticipate the kingdom of God, I think this is what it means, that we are qualified and the body of Christ is qualified to hope and work towards that goal. And so I think this picture is quite apt. I know that this picture has been used in terms of not giving up and encouraging people to don't give up, there's something in the future. But it works in this context as well. Christ has qualified us to a future, as we have seen in Christ himself, who was resurrected from the dead. Let nothing hinder us. Let nothing disqualify us from who you are and what will be in Christ. So, like me, we might be disqualified for an exam, but we will never be disqualified from coming home, from experiencing the love, the sustenance, and the loving attention of God our Father, who listens to us when we pray to Him, who gave everything to us in order to make a way for us to be with Him. And not just that, who made a way for us to look forward to a future in which a future that is set, secured by Christ, that as we keep striving on, just like this fellow, keep striving on, we may go through difficulties, but we can be sure that as we keep going on in Christ, there's a treasure waiting for us. And so let nothing hinder us. The promise in Christ is that we are made alive, and we are also following Jesus Christ, who has shown us the way forward. So there's treasure surely ahead of us. So let nothing deter us. Let nothing discourage us. Let nothing disqualify us. We must move forward with confidence in the promise and the treasure that is ours in Christ. So Christ has qualified us for who we are and what we'll be in Christ. So let that confidence, let that assurance help us to move forward despite all that we're going through. Let me pray, and then I'll give the time back to Hoyan and the team to lead us in singing. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given life to us, and you have called us to live in a new identity and a new trajectory, Lord. And we thank you that the way ahead is assured in Christ and in the life of Christ. And so, Lord, help us to put our trust in you. Help our unbelief, and help us in our moments of doubts, in our moments of insecurity, that we would always look to you, what you have done for us, and the promise that you hold out for us in the future. So we pray, Lord, that you will continue to guide us and lead us in our life and to honor you in this way. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.